As Christians, there are, I suppose, different ways of posing that most fundamental of questions to ourselves. Why am I a Christian? I suppose one way we could pose it is we look at the reality of our faith and we say, am I capable of living in this way? But of course, if we pose that question, in the end, we turn in on ourselves and we make it all about what we're capable of, what we could possibly do. And of course, then we become discouraged when we find that actually we often fall short of the demands of our faith. Or we can pose the question, do I really believe this? But again, the problem with posing the question in that respect is that it tends to make our faith an idea. Is it something that I can kind of say a mental, an intellectual yes to? It doesn't really touch our lives. It stays in our heads and it doesn't get down to the reality of how we live our lives. I think those are wrong ways of posing the question, because I think the real way of asking the question, the way that touches the reality of our lives, and the way that is adequate to the mystery of our faith, is to pose the question in this respect. Can I entrust myself, my life, my hopes, my fears, can I entrust myself to this love? Is this love shown to me in Christ trustworthy? I think at one level, the thing about the Passion is it's such a strange thing, isn't it? You think about it, God reveals himself not as all-powerful, demanding our worship. He reveals himself as all-loving and willing to suffer for us. And I think if we look into our hearts, that answers something very radical about our human nature. Because in the end, the truth is that we, all of us, the deepest part of us, we do want to be loved. We do feel that need to be loved and to be accepted and to be wanted and to be thought good. We, all of us, feel it, perhaps in different ways, and perhaps we look to fill that void in the wrong place, but nonetheless we know experientially that's part of our makeup as a human being. We want to be loved. And so this God who shows himself not as powerful and conquering, but as loving and redeeming, it seems to me that somehow that kind of rings true with who we are as human beings. And then the other thing, of course, is that it's so bizarre. I mean, no one would ever make this story up. If you think about the stories we tell about our sort of gods, if you like, and you think about the way the Vikings described their gods, they were mighty warriors who fought great battles. And you think about how we, in our secular 21st century, talk about our gods and our demigods. You just look at the cinema, you see the Avengers and Batman and Superman. They're just kind of deities misplaced. And in all ways, these people are powerful, who achieve something, who do something, who change the world, who make things happen. And yet our Christian faith says, no, not that, but Christ suffering on the cross. It's not that Wonder Woman or Batman or Spider-Man save the world because they're powerful. It's because Jesus, the carpenter from Nazareth, saves the world because he is willing to suffer for us. And it strikes me that that's so unexpected, so unforeseen, that it's the sort of thing we just wouldn't make up. That at a particular point in history, God entered into the world and in utter weakness suffered to redeem us. It's so fantastic that we would never have been able to. The human imagination is not capable of inventing that sort of a story, and yet that is the story that we are told today. That is the truth that we are told today, that in this Jesus of Nazareth, Almighty God took to himself our human condition and suffered for us and loved us so much that he redeemed us from our sins. And so if we pose the question in that way, can I entrust myself to this love? Then the passion is God's answer to that question. Can I entrust myself to Christ's love? Is God's love in Christ trustworthy? Look how far God is willing to go for you. Christ, betrayed, abandoned by his friends, innocent and falsely condemned, stripped naked, beaten, mocked and despised, made to carry the instrument of his own execution, and then nailed to a tree, parched with thirst, and left to suffocate under his own body weight. What more proof of the fidelity of God's love for you do you want? What more can God say to you that would convince you of the faithfulness of his love? Yes. Yes, you can entrust yourself to this love that will suffer everything for you, out of love for you. But if you do entrust yourself to Christ, be aware that you will have to walk with Christ. The love to which you entrust yourself is not a sentimental Hollywood romantic comedy. It is a love that looks at the brokenness and ugliness of our world. And for all the good that we see around us, who would deny that our world is broken? Christ's love is not the saccharine schmaltz of a Valentine's Day card. His love is the suffering love that sees the world, sees us clear-sightedly, and loves us, redeems us, and transforms us. Yes, yes, we can entrust ourselves to that love.